Welcome to this Frequency Matters podcast. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. Today, we are speaking with Tom Smeckler, Vice President and General Manager of the Microsystems business at Mercury Systems, about the company's recent announcement of an RF system and package product and the capability behind it. Tom, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Oh, thank you, Pat and Gary. It's great to be on my first Frequency Matters podcast. I really appreciate it. I enjoy listening to the podcast and see what's really driving innovation in signal processing. And I look forward to chatting with you of the great stuff we're doing at Mercury Systems for RF processing.
Great. So to get started, can you describe the functionality and the performance of the RF system and package product?
Sure. We've collaborated really closely with both our partners in the semiconductor industry and our early adopting customers in aero and defense, really with the goal of bringing high-frequency direct digitization to the sensor edge, really bringing that processing capability there. Think direct-to-digital RF. The RFS 1080 is our first standard product, but it can be augmented. And that's what's really unique about Mercury is we have standard products, but we're really focused on what I call the high-mix, low-volume applications. And that allows us to have the processes and capabilities that allows us to customize it for our end user customers with their specific needs. It's all about putting in the higher performance ADCs and DACs that you're seeing along with digital signal processing and so forth, all in one package.
Your announcement said this product is actually the first in a series of RF system and package products. What other products are you developing and planning to release?
Our goal at Mercury Systems is to make leading edge microelectronics profoundly more accessible to our aero and defense customers, which is difficult today. So that's really our mission statement. So you can imagine we're really starting with the RF SIP. We're planning to leverage our Mercury wide capabilities. Mercury brings a lot of advanced processing, integrated microelectronic security, board level solutions all together. So if you take what we do in all those domains, we can now shrink that to chip scale. And so get a significant swap advantage to the market at chip scale. And then all those tied with open systems architecture, we're really a thought leader in open VPX originally, right? So we're driving that same type of thought leadership at chip scale now. And so that's going to allow us to rapidly integrate different chiplets for use cases. So you can think of chiplets like photonics chiplets. You can think of memories, security chiplets, and bringing different kinds of capabilities to these RF SIPs to really make it unique for your different sensors. If it's a radar-based sensor, if it's an EW-based sensor, if it's ground-based, air-based, even space-based, really bring a lot of different capabilities and be able to tweak it. These RF SIPs for those different areas.
So is it fair to say that it's not really a line of catalog products per se, but you'll tailor these based on your customers' needs?
It's fair to say that, but we will have our standard products as well. So the RFS 1080 is our first standard product, which will go into a lot of systems. But a lot of our customers, they see the standard product and they always want to customize it and they want to make something unique. And that's what we do well. So if the standard product works great for the customer, that's awesome. We'll sell those to them every day. But if they want something changed out and unique for their application, that's what we're really all about.
So what technologies can be integrated into the SIP from the RF to digital?
I'll start out the opposite side of what you just said, Pat. I'll start on the digital and work my way back to the RF side. On the digital side, it's all about integrating the leading edge FPGAs, CPUs and GPUs, if the application really needs it. But mainly our customers are really looking at the advanced FPGAs, putting memories on chip as well, really shrinking the size of it. And then other chiplets that are really coming out based on a lot of innovation. So different interface chiplets, security chiplets, photonics chiplets, for instance. So now if I work my way back to the signal processing side, it's all about accelerating the directed digitization RF, right? So putting these high instantaneous bandwidth ADCs and DACs in line, putting in line DSPs, So really think heterogeneous integration, being able to take silicon from lots of different providers, even our customers. So gallium arsenide, SiGe, GaN devices, and really integrate that into a small chain, into a very small form factor. What's really exciting is now we have the capability to put RF and digital on the same interposers and substrates. So it's really changing the game on what I call edge processing.
So if we look at this as kind of a black box, how high in RF frequency can you go and how much power dissipation can you put into the box within the thermal design of the system?
When it comes to the frequency domain, it's all based on which ADC and DAC provider that we align with and integrate into the chip. So depending on the use case, you know, anywhere from 1 to 8 gigahertz on some ADCs and DACs, up to 20 gigahertz on others, clear up to, you know, some are now up to getting up to 40 gigahertz, depending on the ADC and DAC provider. So power dissipation, it's all about the board level, what we can handle. And so we really work with our customers on what their board and chassis can handle, but we can have systems that go over 200 watts. It's pretty impressive the amount of performance we're putting in small packages here.
So where is your SiP manufacturing line located and what kind of volumes can it support?
Our SiP manufacturing is really what we announced last year. So our Phoenix facility is our Advanced Microelectronics Center for Mercury, and it's based in Phoenix, Arizona. So what we did there was we expanded our clean room capability there. We have over 110,000 square feet now of clean room, and we really created two new clean rooms for this 2.5D heterogeneous. And so the capability side of this, we can handle, I'd say, up to right around 100,000 parts per year, and it really depends on the mix. So I really talked about we're a high mix, low volume production. We don't focus on low mix, high volume like the large semiconductor companies do. What's really unique about our clean rooms and our capabilities is our processes are in place where if a customer orders tens of something, hundreds of something, thousands, or even tens of thousands per year, we have the processes to put all that in place for that high mix model. I'd say, you know, it's really exciting because we're ramping up to that full rate production. And with the modular designs I was talking about and the open systems architecture I was talking about, that's how we can quickly tweak designs for our customers' use cases and get it into our manufacturing facility.
In the defense market, trusted capability is really important. Can you explain, first of all, what trusted means and how does a facility like yours become trusted?
You nailed it, Gary. You know, for our aero and defense customers, trust is important. And I'd say it's all about proven microelectronics. The short answer to it is, for those who aren't focused in this area, it's delivering microelectronics that are uncompromised. So think proven pedigree, proven design, and proven fab assembly and test. So your customer knows they're getting something that is genuine and it's been designed, fab assembly and tested to meet the importance. You know, the last thing you want is to get in an airplane that's based on counterfeit parts, right? When lives and national security are on the line, I think every single one of us want proven microelectronics. So that's what trust is all about. We want safe, secure. And when it comes to our defense customers and our aero customers, customer expects it. So we are accredited by the Defense Microelectronics Activity. It's out of the Office of Secretary of Defense of the United States. And it's really focused on, you can have multiple capabilities and be focused either on one area or all of them. We're focused on all of them. So we have certifications for trusted design, full trusted supply chain, trusted fab, and trusted assembly and test. And so we can provide the whole gamut, ensuring to the customer they're getting what they asked for, and that's all. So I'd say what it really means for Mercury Systems is we're ensuring the design to delivery, you know, the microelectronics, they're reliable, they're assured, and they're designed to operate in the harshest and most rugged environments.
So do you plan to offer this manufacturing capability as a foundry service for companies that are kind of seeking your manufacturing source of their own designs?
We are. Our main business is doing the full design and assembly and test. That's our niche. But yes, we're partnering closely with both our aero defense, and we have commercial customers as well. So we can do anything from build to print, if that's really what they want, something in between where our niche is, which is full design and delivery. So absolutely.
You referred earlier to the announcement that you made last October about an investment by Mercury, I think $15 million, which was linked to your involvement in DARPA's Electronic Resurgence Initiative and the CHIPS program. I love these acronyms, the Common Heterogeneous Integration and IP Reuse Strategies Program. Talk a little bit, if you would please, about how Mercury has been involved with these DARPA programs.
So Mercury's been involved in many DARPA programs, but for these two programs, it wasn't our involvement directly in them. It was what those programs enabled us. So DARPA's investments in 2.5D heterogeneous integration in these two areas put the investments and got the technology to a point that we at Mercury could take it and run with it. And so it was at technology readiness level and manufacturing readiness level, along with where the defense community and aero communities pull for these types of devices were there. And I'd say along with the commercial industry on their push for 2.5D, you know, they've been doing 2.5D, what I call homogeneous integration, for a while now, where they're using all their same die, right? So all these pressures have really come together, and DARPA's investment really made that happen in both CHIPS and what they've been doing in ERI to get Mercury to be able to take that invest and build out these clean rooms, build out this whole FAD capability, build out our full design capability, all onshore for our defense customers.
So could this be said it's kind of extending Moore's Law, which was kind of pooping out?
Oh gosh, you nailed it. I could talk for hours just on extension of Moore's Law, but I don't think your listeners probably want that. But exactly, you know, what's funny is people think Moore's Law is all about shrinking of the transistor, having the size of the transistor and doubling of the transistors every 18 months. That's what we got used to, right? But Gordon Moore was so smart. And if you actually read what he wrote, the last page of what he wrote, he said, and once that becomes unfeasible, we are going to do exactly what we're doing here, 2.5D integration. We're going to go into, he said, smaller dies, focused dies, and integrating them for the specific use cases. So I'd say Moore's Law is well alive. We just forgot about the extension of the next chapter of it, right? So the saga continues. He was a visionary, and even when we think he was wrong and it was ending, his vision's continuing.
So how does this microelectronics capability support Mercury's business strategy for the defense market?
Great question. You know, our business strategy, like I mentioned earlier, it's really about making the leading edge microelectronics, you know, profoundly more accessible to our aero and defense customers. There's always been that lag in the past and delay of getting the most advanced capabilities there. So the first piece of that is we've really collaborated with our semiconductor partners and with our defense customers. So understanding what are the challenges they face. And then, like for the case of 2.5D systems and packages, it's really about moving the processing to the sensor edge, right? Bringing more performance, higher bandwidth, throughput, lower latency all together right at the sensor for radar applications, EW applications, you name it. Then it's how do you deliver proven commercial technology to the rugged environments. All that together is my long-winded way of saying that's really our business strategy for the defense market.
Your announcement highlighted 5G communications as one possible application for your capability. As we've talked, you're a very well-known supplier for the defense market, not so much for commercial. Do you intend to get into 5G? And if so, how do you plan to enter the 5G supply chain?
I'll back up a little bit before answering that question, if you don't mind. I'll take it a different angle to kind of give some early assessment of why it's important for us to get into the 5G market. Today, people think we're in the information age, and we're really not, right? We're in that data age. We're still trying to transition to the information age. And what I mean by that is, if you look at our sensors, they're becoming ever more capable, higher fidelity, more data being produced. And so what we're doing today with like the RF SIP is a perfect example of moving the processing there so we can turn that data into information and make those sensors even smarter. With that, we're going to be creating ever more information now, which is exciting. It's going to change the game in so many products. But what's going to be the next phase of this is we really need to get that information to where it can be processed even more. And so high bandwidth communications like 5G is critical to that continuing trajectory to the information age. And so we're collaborating with our semiconductor partners and aero and defense partners, because 5G is going to change the defense community. So we're not getting into 5G commercial. That's not our business proposition. Our business proposition is high mix, low volume. It's all about rugged environments. And so that's not where we're going to compete. Where we're going to compete is bringing 5G to defense, which is going to change a lot of our systems out there.
So before we conclude, can you tell us a little bit about your background and your career path that led you to this role at Mercury Systems?
Sure, if your listeners actually want to hear it. I believe living with passion and purpose. You know, we're lucky to be alive today, and what exciting times we live in. So I try to use every day wisely, because, wow, don't waste a single minute that we have a chance on this earth. So I go back many moons ago. I'm not going to tell you how many. Back when I was getting my master's, kind of give you a what drives me is I really focused on what was called non-linear controls, chaos theory, and the early starts to AI, really, right? So when I was getting my degree, some people and my peers, they were putting Silicon Graphics computers, and if you go back to that time, you know, stacking as many as you could into a hatchback and trying to drive a car down the San Diego freeway or something, right? It's exciting to see back when I was focused on the early days of AI to where microelectronics is today, that is now making it amazingly possible. So after I got my degrees, I really focused on microelectronics for defense applications. I really found my passion, you know, delivering safe, secure, high-performance capabilities to the men and women, I'd say, that keep the free world free, and hopefully bringing them back home to their families. I mean, that's what really drives me. So after a couple decades of working for a major defense prime, doing amazing things there, I wanted to expand my impact. I knew I could provide more to society, to the United States, and other countries that work with us, and make a bigger difference. And so I go back to that whole passion and purpose thing I talked about earlier. I talked about making microelectronics truly profoundly more accessible. And with my background, I kind of told you about the innovation and drive. To me, this opportunity and what bringing processing to that sensor edge and opening it up to our aero and defense customers, I just saw that as I could really impact the world in a major way. So starting a business unit from scratch at Mercury to pull this off really excited me, and to drive that innovation. So that's how I got here, and loving every minute of it.
Well, thank you, Tom, for sharing your passion and purpose and joining us to talk about the RF SIP capability there at Mercury Systems and how it aligns with your overall business. This certainly addresses the need for more hardware and software integration with intelligence, as you've said, in defense systems. And we look forward to hearing more about how your capability develops and gets fielded.
Gary and Pat, thank you both very much. You know, this is a great conversation. Frequency Matters podcast is an awesome podcast, and I've really been honored to be part of it. You have amazing listeners. I'm one of them, so that's why I know they're amazing. So thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.